Welcome to Beyond the Frontline podcast, where your hosts, U.S. Air Force veterans, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson, will help you transition from the frontline to the home front. Listen every other Wednesday as they will bring great conversations, resources, tips, and feel-good stories that will resonate and relate. Now, here's your hosts, Donna Hoffmeyer and Jay Johnson.
Hey, everybody, this is Donna. I am sans Jay today. Jay's out for some family health issues, so I'm wishing him and his family well while he gets through that. But in the meantime, I'm hanging out here with a very, very longtime friend of mine, Tim Gagneau. Hey, Tim.
How you doing? Great to see you.
I have to be honest. I'm very transparent. So I'm just telling everybody this is take two because we tried the first time and then I looked down 2 minutes in and realized I didn't hit the record button. So here we are, take two. So I have to go back. Little history. Tim and I have known each other for upwards of 40 years. My Lord, I cannot believe I say that number. But here we are. Tim and I have known each other since we've probably been 10, 11, 12, 13, somewhere in there.
10 years old, probably.
Oh, yeah. And then we used to go to camp. Our families are friends. We know his whole family. I know all his brothers. I know his parents. I probably know aunts and cousins that I'm just not even thinking of right now. And we've known each other forever. And then within those years, we even dated when we were like 13.
Right. You were my first real girlfriend.
I was.
Oh, you were.
I'm feeling special now. But he has a very, 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 very nice wife, Lisa, right now. And I adore her. So shout out to Lisa. So we've known each other a super long time. So today I brought him on because like I was saying in the first round, our lives have kind of touched and gone over the years. So I've always kept in touch with him. And one of the things that we both did is we both joined the military. So Tim joined in 91, 92-ish, and then I joined in 94. So Tim, why don't you repeat how you ended up joining the military? Because it's kind of cute.
Oh, yeah. I was not planning on joining the military. I was going to be an artiste my whole life. And that my dad and I kind of butted heads in that area. He just couldn't wrap his brain around, you know, we grew up in very small towns.
Oh, yes.
In northern New Hampshire. There's more moose than people up there.
True story.
And my dad could not wrap his brain around making a living as an artist. He just couldn't do it. And it was we butted heads quite a bit. And one day he said, Monday morning, you're coming to work with me. And I said, in my brain, I didn't dare say it out loud. I said, oh, no, I'm not. And so I marched down to the recruiter and I said, sign me up. And I meant now. And the recruiter was looking at me like, it doesn't work that way. And I'm like, why not? Why not? Let's go. I'm ready. And he's like, So after a little bit of back and forth arguing, he flabbergasted. He just said, I can get you on a bus on Thursday. And I said, works for me. And so I went home and my mom said, you know, how was work today? And I said, I didn't go to work, which threw dad into a rage. And I said, I joined the Air Force. I'm leaving Thursday. And then after we picked him up off the floor, a few days later, I was on a bus down to Boston MEP station and then on a plane to Lackland Air Force Base. And that's how I started my military career.
Well, then you ended up in a unique situation because you were just telling me that you never went to tech school, which I was like, what do you mean?
Yes, I bypassed tech school, which is kind of a very unique thing. So while I was in basic training, I went in open general. They could have made me anything they wanted, which anybody with a brain knows that's a bad idea.
Oh, yeah. That's mortuary affairs. That's food services.
They could have made me anything they wanted. The worst job in the world. They could just said, here you go, kid. But while I was in basic training, we went to the career counselor. And this lady, this tech sergeant, she was like a godsend for me. She was looking through my paperwork and she said, it says here, you're an artist. And I said, yes, ma'am. And she threw a picture of her dog and a yellow notepad at me. And she said, draw that dog. And so I drew the dog and handed it back to her. And then she said, don't move. And she left me in her office for 45 minutes. And I have no idea what's going on. I'm sitting in her office all by myself trying to, and she comes back in And she has another picture of her dog. And she says, draw this dog this time like a cartoon. So I draw it and I hand it back to her. And she leaves me again. Don't move. Yes, ma'am. So I'm sitting in her office again. Now about 30, 40 minutes go by. And I'm like, what is going on? I have no idea. She hasn't told me anything. She comes back in and she says, the colonel liked the picture of the dog that you drew. And I'm like, the colonel?
I can barely handle like, three or four stripes. You know? And
she says, come with me. You have to take a test. And I'm like, what is going on? So I go into this giant room with hundreds of desks and she hands me a test, you know, with the fill in the dots.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's an art test. And I'm like, what is going on?
So you're clapping the art test.
You don't ask in basic training. You just do. So I take this test. 2 hours later, she says, all right. She says, sit here in my office. I'm going to go grade your test. So 2 hours go by.
Oh my God.
I was there all day. And so she comes back in and she's all excited. She goes, you passed. And I'm like,
what did I pass?
Wait, what is going on? And she says, that was the final exam to the graphic specialist tech school.
Holy crap. And you just took it and passed it.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? She says, it means you're going to be an artist for the Air Force.
So you are like the only person that's clept tech school. That's what you just did.
Pretty much. But it got even weirder because she goes to find me a job. And so I'm sitting in her office again. Hours go by. She comes back. She's literally crying. And she goes, there's no jobs. There's no openings. We're going to have to figure something out for you. And I'm like, what does that? So now I'm like, got the rug pulled out for me. So I have to march back. It's 10 o'clock at night. I had to march all the way across Lackland Air Force Base by myself back to my dorm. And I get in there and I hear the dreaded thing no one wants to hear. Your drill sergeant scream your name. And so I'm like, oh no. So I run in his office. Yeah, yes, yes, sir. And he says, Tech Sergeant so-and-so from career counseling wants you to call her right now. And I'm like, okay. So I ran downstairs, down the three flights of stairs to the old pay phones. And I called her up. She said, there's one job on the planet. Do you want it? And I was like, yes. She says, don't you want to know where it is? I said, I don't care.
I'm here. Let's go. Job.
And so it ended up being Tyndall Air Force Base here in Panama City Beach.
And he's still there.
And I'm still here. Right? I got the sand in my toes. I said, I'm not leaving.
Well, the choice between Northern New Hampshire in the winter and Florida is there's no comparison.
There is no comparison. Panama City Beach is truly the world's most beautiful beaches. And I absolutely love it here. Yeah, you've been here.
Yeah, we visited you. Actually, Tim, there's another. This podcast will be like how our lives crossed and how we got where we are. Because there is something we're going to talk about halfway through this that he's involved with that, again, we cross paths on. But for our fifth anniversary, my husband and I's fifth anniversary, Tim actually painted us a picture, oil painting, of Venice, where we got engaged, and he did the Rialto Bridge, and it's gorgeous. It's up in our house. It's been there for years and years and years. And so that's very, very near and dear to me. I mean, I love that picture. And so, yeah, that was one where we've met. You've met my family. You've met my kids. I've met your kids. My goodness. And so we scroll ahead because you got out of the military in 94. Mm-hmm. And you were living your best life down there in Panama. And I was traveling all over the place because I was still in the military all those years.
Yeah.
And then one day, out of the blue, this is years ahead, Tim reaches out to me and says, hey, Donna, I'm looking for, you were looking for a, like a secretary, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I'm like, a secretary, what do you need a secretary for? And then he tells me about the Patriot Arts Program. And I'm like, wait, what is that? And so then that was how many years ago? Two?
That was about 2 years ago. Probably about a year ago.
Yeah.
Probably about a year.
So we talk about it. I threw some names at him that might be a potential and, you know, they did what they needed to do. And it always stuck in the back of my head. I love art, and it's definitely therapeutic. I've done art in different ways. I've done pottery, painting. That is nowhere near Tim's painting, trust me. And I know the benefits of it. So we've talked in the past, and then here I am setting up season two of Beyond the Frontline, and I'm looking at all this stuff. And I had talked to a lot of people, and Tim and I had talked, and I said, Tim, you should come on the podcast. And he's like, heck yeah. And so we're here. And of course, what do I find out in the middle of that? Tim also has two podcasts that he does. So we're going to talk about how you got into or found out about Patriot Art Foundation, what the Patriot Art Foundation is, and what they're doing, and all the cool things about the Patriot Art Foundation. So how did you find out about it, first of all? I guess that's the next step.
Yeah, the Patriot Art Foundation is, it's absolutely phenomenal. It's probably one of the greatest joys and honors of my life now. I really enjoy working with them and the mission that we accomplished there. It started, I was at another organization's annual conference, the Portrait Society of America. I'm primarily a figurative and a portrait artist. And so I'm at the annual conference hanging out with a bunch of other portrait artists. And there was a particular artist named Mary White. She's one of the top artists in the world today. She is just the elite of the elite of the elite. And she was one of the keynote speakers. And she was giving a talk on her recent exhibit that at the time was at the Marine Corps Museum. And what it was called is We the People. And she painted 50 veterans, one from every state. And these are just everything from a homeless guy to an astronaut and everything in between.
So I listened to the beginning of Mary's podcast with you. That was the first podcast you did with Patriot Art Foundation.
Yeah, that was episode one, yeah.
And I was listening to it. Her story on how that came to be, can you just share a little of that? Because it was very interesting.
Yeah, she just started, you know, traveling around. And because she's not even from a military family.
Right.
And so she just started, you know, getting like wanting to paint some veterans. And she just started traveling, but she would basically look around and say, I want a trucker, you know, and she'd go and call around the VAs and different cities, and she'd find she would find somebody and she would paint them, but she would do that state to state to state,
right,
finding these different people. And through that journey of meeting veterans and hearing their stories and talking to them and spending, when you paint somebody's portrait, it's
intimate.
It's extremely intimate. The relationship that develops between the artist and the model, it's hard to describe. It's very intimate. And she just started getting this. It was very powerful and it was very moving for her. And so she was just like, I've got to do something about this. And from that exhibit, you know, these are in the paintings, my gosh, they're some of the most beautiful pieces
I've
of art.
I've seen them. They're stunning.
Yeah. She's one of those artists that's so good at like, it makes you mad.
The fact that you're saying
like,
that.
You love her, but you're like, argh.
But you're, you know? Tim has an MFA. He has a master's in fine arts too. And he is amazing. I'm just gonna say, so for him to say that, and he looks up and on somebody, that is some extreme talent. But yes. Mary went to all 50 states, mm-hmm. and she said she did a lot of it secretively. Like a lot of people did not know this was
fair. She wasn't
nothing.
She spent
no
all her
media.
Own money. She
yep.
traveled 7 years. She worked on this.
Yeah, I mean that's insanity. And then when they opened up the art mm-hmm. show, right? That's when things started to travel, you know, that's when things started to happen.
Yeah. And so she's in Charleston, which is where the Citadel is located. That's also where the Yorktown is, like her house. She can like look over the water and the Yorktown is docked right there.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, she's very close in, you know, Charleston's got a very big military community. And so, you know, she made a lot of connections with that, and the portraits that she did just resonated with so many people mm-hmm. and so many veterans and this and that. And then through those talks, she started to realize, you know, we've got to help these veterans. We've got to reach out to them and use art to help them tell their stories. You know, every veteran has a story to tell.
Yeah.
We've all been through it. We've all got things. And especially, you know, combat veterans and veterans that have gone overseas and things like that. You know, they've got a lot of things that can help others and can also help them process things. And
without having to it just hit my head, but without having to talk about it. And I'll tell you, there is, I have seen it. I mean, my background's a nurse. My last 8 years was taking care of a lot of Guard and Reserve, a lot of PTSD, a lot of combat, mm-hmm. you know, mental health issues. And the one thing I'd seen, some people, not everybody, but some people, it was so hard. Their body responded so strongly that they couldn't talk about it. Talking about it was just exhausting to them.
Yes.
We literally had somebody, the therapist had to stop the session because his blood pressure was going through the roof. She saw him changing colors and they took his blood pressure. He had to go on blood pressure medication because of that. So when you can find modalities that have nothing to do with talking, but they can still express themselves and process it. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's the power of the arts. Mm-hmm. And visual arts are very primal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just innate, you know. Pablo Picasso said, every child is an artist. The trick is to stay an artist when you grow up. But that's how innate art is in people. We naturally want to draw. And you may not be very good at it, but we naturally tend to go that direction. And the visual arts is a great way to communicate. A picture's worth a thousand words.
Yes.
So you can communicate emotions in a much deeper primal way than you can with words. It's a fact.
Right.
And when you're processing things like that, it can be very, very therapeutic and very powerful. And the other side of that is the process of creating the art, you know, just the hot word now, ASMR, you know, just the sound of the pencil or the charcoal scraping across the paper, your mind stops. The entire planet stops rotating and it's just you and a piece of paper. And that is one of the greatest ways to just diffuse that I've ever found. And when I see people that have never drawn before in their life, they've never even thought twice about art, and they start working with us and they start creating art for sometimes the first time in a long time or ever, it unlocks something in them, and it's powerful to see.
You know, when you were talking, you know what was coming into my mind? Your fire art. So Tim does this incredible, it's fire art, right? Is that what it's called?
I call it fire painting. Really what it is it's speed painting. It's performance art.
It is, but it's still incredible. Yeah.
Now, and that was the thing when it comes to like speed painting, mm-hmm. there's a lot of people out there that do speed painting. I'm not first. I won't be the last, you know, and you got a big giant canvas and you paint a painting in like 2 minutes, you know, on a big giant canvas, and the crowd watches you do it, you know, and it's performance art. But to separate myself from the pack, I light my paintbrushes on fire and I breathe fire while I'm.
Because why not? I mean, why not?
Why not?
If you know Tim, that's not even shocking, actually.
Yeah, afraid not.
But you know what it actually shows in a way, though? Speed painting, right? Because, I mean, you're an accomplished artist and you do this. But what you can show people is that even in a small amount of time, you can create. So you don't need these huge, enormous blocks of like 6 hours or whatever. You know, here you are, and what do you do those in, 30 minutes?
It depends. Yeah. I mean, sometimes 5 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes, sometimes it just depends.
Depends on the gasoline's on his brush.
You know, it's actually lamp oil.
Oh, is it?
just lamp oil from Walmart, nothing special. And then what I put in my mouth to breathe fire, that's a trade secret, but it's not whiskey.
Oh, dang, you took the mystery. I was like, oh, I bet you it's whiskey or bourbon or something. Moonshine.
I used to do a lot of elementary schools. And when you're breathing fire over the kindergarten students, you know.
Probably whiskey's not a good idea.
Well, there's that. And then the first question they always want to know is, how do you do the fire breathing? They don't care about the painting. They don't care about how do you breathe fire? I want to go home and breathe fire. And I'm like.
I was just going to say, I'm sure every parent's like, I'm going to just choke him out.
Yeah. And I, you know, I always, because it's a very common household item.
That's hilarious. Oh, my God.
In every kitchen in America. So I'm like, nope, we're not going to tell the kids what I'm using.
Yeah, that's why you have to keep it a trade secret. You don't really want that out. Yeah, that's a lot of parents are not thanking you, right? Well, so when you know, you're bringing up some really good points, like the therapeutic value of art. You don't, you know, when people are like, well, I'm not good at it. I'm like, I remember I took an art class in college. We were required to take an elective, and I picked this art class. And I remember my teacher saying, the only bad art is art that does not invoke an emotion. And that stuck with me all these years, that the worst thing that you could say to an artist is, does nothing for me. Like, there's no emotion. So if you look at something like, what's the famous one? Like the screaming man, you know, with his face there. That's one that a lot of people probably identify with. And you look at that, some people be like, oh my God, that invokes terror. That makes me afraid. That scares me, or whatever it is. You invoked an emotion, right? Mm-hmm. And that is an artist's goal, right? To bring some emotion out of the observer, the person looking at this. So
yeah, the relationship between the artist and the audience is an emotional one.
Right.
Again, I'll use the word primal again. People see a piece of art and they connect with it in a very deep way because it's hitting your emotions. It's an emotional response. It's making you feel something. And that's really what art does. And going back to what you were talking about, you know, there's a lot of people like, oh, I can't do art. You know, the best advice I ever got about art, but also about life in general, of all places, comes from, I got a lot of kids, so we watch a lot of cartoons. And there was a cartoon called Adventure Time.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little dog character named Jake the dog, a very famous cartoon character. Best advice I ever got about art and life. And he said, don't be afraid to suck at something, because sucking at something is the first step to being almost pretty good at something.
So that's sage advice.
That's a good advice.
It's huge advice. And you know what? It's very sage advice for people that are getting out of the military, because we get out. Like, say you do a whole career, even if you don't do a whole career, you do any extended amount of time and you get good at what you're doing, right? So whatever field you're in, you've learned how to navigate it. You might be the subject matter expert, the go-to person, you are valued in some sense, right? And the longer you're in there, the more, you know, you have that sense of purpose, right? Maybe you're special ops out in the field, getting it done in there before everybody else, whatever it may be, right? And then you literally hard stop. You go bloop, bloop, you're out. You know, it's like one day, and like I was out during COVID.
Like, now what?
Yeah. And so you have that hard stop, and then you are now in a world that you don't know. You have now had some kind of trauma. There is nobody that gets out of the military without some level of trauma. That's just what it is. Why? Because of the jobs that we do. And so we're trying to process all this trauma or the stress or whatever it is. We're trying to come off all that. And we're out in this world and we don't trust anybody. And we don't know where to start because we're really good. And so we almost have some expectation like, okay, well, whatever I do, I gotta be really good. And I'm like, no, you're kind of going to suck because you don't know.
So, right, because you're new. You're new at it.
You're new. And you have to go back to being new. And so when we're in our 20s, like, we don't care. We're just like, yeah, get out there and do whatever. We're just trying to figure it out. And then you get, you know, 8 years in, 10 years in, 15, 20, and now we're wiser and we have experience. Now we know. And, you know, I always said one of the best things about the last years of my career was like I could help guide and I could just give reins to other people and go, oh, you should go to the left. You should go to the right. You should, hey, pull that rein a little and help guide them and watch them succeed and watch them do great things. Because I didn't have to do that anymore because I knew, so to speak. Right. I mean, we're always learning, but I'm just saying in that sense. And then you come out and you're like, I don't have my uniform. I'm dealing with some trauma, mental health, whatever's going on. And I don't know this whole sea of people that I'm in with. Holy crap.
Yeah.
So when you have something like art, right? And you going back to this art where you can block the world out. Like I took a pottery class. I fell in love with it. And one of the things I learned was you have to let go to be in control. So speak to that, like on the painting side of that, when you guys are doing this with the Patriot Art Foundation, how are you engaging these veterans? Like, what are you guys doing to kind of teach them this stuff?
Well, we have lots of different programs. I am the one that there's myself and another artist that teaches. I do the drawing classes. There's another artist that does painting classes. And then our founder, Mary White, has a program called Watercolor Boot Camp because she's a watercolorist. And so for me, I teach live Zoom classes at the VA hospitals around the country.
Very cool. So like and all the VAs that comes up when you do it or certain ones?
No. So individual VA hospitals, they contact us and they say, we want to have some of your art classes. And then we work out a time with them. And then like I teach an 8-week drawing course. And so like this Thursday, I'll be at Salt Lake City's VA hospital, and I'll be teaching a drawing class. I think we're in week 5 of our 8-week course.
Nice.
And it's a 2-hour class, and I'm over Zoom. I can see them. They can see me. They're emailing me their art homework, and I'm critiquing it.
Oh, neat. And
we take them step by step from how to draw a circle, and at the end, they're drawing a portrait of a person sitting in front of them.
That's so and cool.
You know, we take you step by step. And the bottom line is that anybody can learn to do anything. It's about
technique,
proper training and practice.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's really all it is. And so we're getting rid of the mystique. A lot of people think, oh, you were just born with art. You know,
well,
no,
you kind of were. So I'm
well, you say that, but you know, if you like Michelangelo said, if people knew how hard I worked to attain my mastery, they wouldn't think it was so wonderful.
That's
you
true.
Know, and so when all you other kids at Littlefield, the campground, were playing, where was I? I was drawing.
Well, I don't, yeah, you were. We're out at the Rock. Yeah. I mean, we were everywhere.
You know, yeah, well, that's
you
true.
Were.
You know, but the point is that I would draw every single day, at least 2-3 hours.
Well, it's funny, too, you say that, right? Because now I'm thinking back, right? Because remember, Jeff used to draw heavily. Mm-hmm. So that my cousin, right? So Jeff drew. I remember we'd be at camp. You'd be drawing. Jeff would be drawing, whatnot. And then you kept with it, right? Jeff became a police officer instead.
Right. And so that's like, you know, when you see an artist that has a high skill level, there's a lot of hours involved. Mm-hmm. You know, no one ever says to the concert pianist, oh, you were just born being able to play a piano. We just recognize they've been practicing playing the piano probably since they were 3 years old.
Right.
And they never stopped.
Right.
Hours and hours and hours. Anybody can learn to draw. There's a mystique about it. Anybody can learn to paint. What we do at the Patriot Art Foundation is we tell people, anybody can do this. We're going to teach you some basic skills so that you can then the better you are at your art, the better you'll be able to share your heart through that art and communicate who you are on the inside for other people. And that's really what we're doing is where the motto of the Patriot Art Foundation is helping veterans to tell their story through the arts.
That's awesome.
That's really what we're doing. And so we have classes over over a Zoom meeting with the VA hospitals. And then we have, there's a company called Terracotta that we work with that does our watercolor boot camp, nice. Which is a very, very intense course with Mary White. I mean, this is like an absolutely amazing opportunity to train with the best watercolors probably in the world, intimately training with her. And we offer these things absolutely free to veterans. All they have to do is go to our website and sign up for these courses, and they can take these courses. We even send you the art supplies.
Do you guys have sponsors that
we have donations. You know, anybody can donate. We're a 501c3 yep. nonprofit organization. So we have donations. We have sponsors. We have all kinds of things. Terracotta is a big sponsor for us. They're one of our partners. And we do classes. There have been events where we're teaching art classes literally right on the deck of the Yorktown aircraft carrier.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it's super fun. You have all these veterans sitting down taking a painting class, and the cadets at the Citadel are helping out and being our gophers, make sure everybody's got their supplies and stuff. But there's so many events that we offer to veterans. Plus, we have our podcast where we interview some of the top artists in the country today who also happen to be veterans. Everybody from photographers to painters to illustrators, sculptors, everything in between.
I met one in Savannah. So we were there. It was, I did not know this. A couple of my veterans told me, like, hey, ma'am, did you know that the biggest St. Patrick's Day party, the third biggest, is in Savannah? And I'm like, no, because I found out my birthday was St. Patrick's Day. And uh-huh. so we went down, and then we're on the square and walked into this artist, you know, building, you know, and there are lots of different artists in there. And the first gentleman we met was a veteran and his artwork. And let me tell you, it was very telling. I could, even if I hadn't met him, I could see the stress in the art. And then when I met him, he was really intense. Nice guy, but really intense. And it totally matched what I was seeing in the art. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you know, the arts and the military have had a very deep relationship for a long time. Anybody that's been stationed, look at all the buildings that have murals on.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere, right? And every squadron has the squadron artist that does the art. Yes. And does things like that. But there's actually, like, had I known now what I knew then, I most likely would have probably gone in the Marines, because in the Marine Corps, they actually have a job, an MOS called combat artist, where you go into combat zones with a sketch pad.
You have a sketch pad and somebody's shooting at your back end.
Yes. Okay. Like literally. And they go into these hot zones and they're drawing and painting, and they come back and they do these great paintings. And that's an actual MOS in the Marines.
That's combat insane. Artist. Who would know that?
A guy named Chris Battles, he's like the head of that for the Marines. And he is the artist in residence at the Marine Corps Museum. And we interviewed him. He talked about it on our podcast. It was absolutely amazing. In other branches, you have combat photographers, where you go into combat with a camera.
That is a no joke. And people are like, oh, you're just taking pictures. I'm like, you know what? A lot of those guys come out with PTSD, because guess what?
Oh, yeah.
They're taking pictures, and there is a psychological thing that happens when you're there mm-hmm. capturing the history visually, and yes. you're not helping.
I interviewed a lady named Stacy Parasol, and she's an absolute award-winning world-class photographer. That was her job in the military. And I asked her straight up, I said, you know, you're in there, bullets whizzing by your head and people getting blown up left and right. How do you know? Because she obviously had a firearm also.
Yeah.
And I said, how do you know when to shoot back with your rifle and when to stand up and take a photo? And this, let me tell you, this is a woman that's been blown up twice. Okay. She finally had to get medically retired from the military, and she didn't miss a beat. I'm asking her, when do you shoot back or when do you go click?
Right.
How do you know what to do? And she didn't miss a beat. She said pucker factor.
I was going to say, depending on the height of the bullet.
And now she said pucker factor. She said, you basically, how clenched are you in the back? That tells you what to do. And I mean, she didn't even bat an eye when she said it.
That is hilarious.
And, she is an amazing woman. Now that she's in the civilian, she works with veteran hospitals. She takes photographs and portraits of veterans. And she has a vet dog.
Like a service dog.
Yeah. And she is one of the biggest promoters of U.S. vet dogs and things like that. Stacy Parasol, if you don't know her, you guys should definitely.
I'm writing her name down.
Stacey. And she has a show on PBS where she interviews veterans.
Oh,
yeah,
that's cool. Do you guys do art shows with the veterans? Like, you know, their finished work. Do you ever do any gala fundraising?
That's something that we're still pretty new. But that's something that is a very big possibility in the future, having like an art show with the veterans from our art class and things like that.
We need to talk. I have an idea. Yeah. I'll pitch later.
Sounds great. Yeah. We just had our annual board meeting in Charleston. So my wife and I, we drove up to Charleston, had never been to that city. So it was kind of fun.
Beautiful there.
And,
yeah.
Oh, it really was amazing. Going to Patriots Point and seeing the Yorktown and the battleship and then the Vietnam park was, you know, we were there for 4.5 hours and it went by like that. We had such a great time. But at that annual board meeting, we were talking about things, and my wife and I, we got a tour of the Citadel, and they have a gigantic new building completely dedicated to art.
Oh, wow.
And they gave us a tour of their facilities. They have a beautiful brand new art gallery in there. They have it's top of the, I mean, it's an, you know, their budget's a little bigger than most art organizations.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing. But that goes back to what I was saying earlier about how the military's history with the visual arts is deep.
Yes.
And it's always been there. I mean, it just, not only the murals in every building almost in the military, but then you have, you know, we were painting on the nose cones of aircraft. You know, things like that, and our patches, you know, those are some serious things to the military. And all of that art has an effect, and it's basically a way for us to tell our stories. And this is who we are.
Yeah.
You know, we connect with each other. You see that patch, you're like, yeah, that's me, you know. And
patches,
so,
challenge coins, all of
those things, you know, and that's all visual art. And it's a powerful thing. So that's really. The Patriot Art Foundation is kind of like taking that and bringing it into, now you're a civilian and you've got some stories to tell and you've got some things to deal with. And, you know, you call it art therapy, call it just trying to figure things out. But again, it's about sharing who you are in here with the world. And sometimes the mouth just can't pull it off.
Yeah.
It just can't.
Literally cannot do it. I mean, that's a true thing, to try to form the words to try to process what you dealt with or saw or whatever. It sometimes does not work. And when I remember, you know, there's things called, was it CPT, which is a form of talk therapy, CBT, another form. And I have had veterans or, you know, service members tell me, I couldn't do that. I can't, you know, I can't do post-traumatic like talk. I can't talk about this. And so we've got, you know, there's so many other modalities, you know, there's equine therapy, the art therapy, like we've been talking about, there's neurofeedback, anything that desensitizes that nervous system down to get away from the fight or flight or fright. Mm-hmm. And then maybe, this is just the world according to Donna, whatever it's worth, once that system is under control and calmer, then maybe it's a time that they could process it verbally. But it doesn't have to be a requirement to be like, well, talk about it, you'll feel better. Nah, dude, that's not necessarily the case.
Right.
But to express it and have a product. You know, my husband will always, like when I retired, he used to say to me, You don't always need to have a product. Like, you can do something without having a product. And I honestly, it's hard for me to comprehend that. Like, if I do stuff, I want to see what I've done. I want to create however that looks, right? And so here you are with art, and you can express yourself, and you don't have to tell anybody what that means.
Right.
That's, see, that's the beauty the other of side, it.
You know, in the military, we tend to have more realism art, but art can be splashes of color. It can be all kinds of things. You know, I mean, just using this color versus that color can express an emotion, or how you throw it on the canvas, or how you sculpt with it. Whatever it is that you're doing, it does. It expresses that inner, deeper, primal emotions. And there's a million ways you can do that without uttering anything out of right. your mouth.
And you know, the cool thing is the other person gets to interpret it, because it's also therapeutic for the the audience, right? They get to look at that and they get to interpret it and say, this is what it means to me. This has meaning to me. So there is no requirement to, you know, and some artists, I've heard artists say, what does it mean to you? What does it matter what it means to me? What does it mean to you? And then it's like, oh.
That was the whole, you know, the whole thing with the non-representational art movement, like Jackson Pollock with the splatter art. What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. What do you think it means? You know, that was how that art genre, that's what it was about. It doesn't, I'm not going to tell you what it means. You decide that for yourself,
right,
you know?
Right.
And that's one of those powerful things. You know, other art is more, you know, like realism tends to be, you know, you're trying to tell a story through art that way. But there's a million ways to tell your story and get, but a lot of times it's just the process itself of creating something.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting so much of your soul into that thing. Even if you're not trying to tell a story with your art, just creating the art, the process can be so taxing. And so much of your emotions go into that process that you have that release.
Yeah.
That is very therapeutic. It's very powerful.
I think, okay, now we have to hold for a minute because now my dog's trying to go out. So see, this is just real talk. Here we are. So hold on, wait 1 second. Okay. Crazy dog. Sorry. She's like behind me, like scratching, put her head in my lap. And I'm like, God dang it.
Oh yeah. She had, you know, your job means nothing to her.
No.
She wants what she wants, her. You know?
It's all about her. Right. Exactly. So we burned an hour almost. Listen to us. We could talk all day. You and I have always been talkers anyway. That's why we both have podcasts.
Probably right.
So what, so does Mary show her artwork around? Like, where can you see Patriot Art Foundation work? I mean,
now her We the People exhibit, it was on display at the Marine Corps Museum for quite a while. And then it was most recently in the Army's Museum.
Oh, nice.
And then now I believe that is not on display right now. We're looking for the next venue for that.
You should bring it to San Antonio. It's Military City, USA. Let's talk.
Exactly. You know, any military installation, any place that
we have Audie Murphy.
Have that, all they have to do is contact the Patriot Art Foundation and work with Mary White, and she will get that exhibit wherever it. Anybody that wants it can have it. We just have to schedule it. But it is an absolutely phenomenal exhibit. The paintings that she's done of these veterans, you know, some are World War II veterans. Some are, you know, some are all the way to Afghanistan, you know, very recent, all the way to, you know, World War II and everything in between. But these aren't like small paintings.
No.
I mean, some of her paintings are 8 feet across and they're watercolors.
Oh my
gosh.
You
know, watercolors are usually on paper and you paint, you know,
little.
Flat.
Yeah.
Right. But she's painting straight up on an easel with these gigantic pieces of paper. And like I said, when you look at her paintings, they're photographic. They're so beautiful in their realism. She is, without exaggeration, one of the greatest watercolorists of this generation by far, if not ever. And also, when it comes to her clout in the art world, but also, you know, just forget, like, we have skill level that is through the roof, but her reputation in the art world is absolutely, she is an absolute legend in the painting world. And as a portrait artist, she's on the board of directors for the Portrait Society of America, as well as other organizations.
Right.
So to have her displaying her work anywhere is a very, very big deal. And I'm not even exaggerating a little bit when I say that. She's a big deal. So to get the We the People exhibit is would be a huge win for any organization.
We need to get it down here. We have the McNay, and then we have Audie Murphy itself. I don't know if there's room down there, but my gosh, we have many, many bases down here that might be able to support it. But yeah, we need to.
And if your base doesn't have a spot on base, they can always sponsor it at the local art museum.
Yeah, that's our the McNay. I bet you the McNay would do it. They bring in some incredible stuff. I love going down there. That is awesome. All right. So we need to wrap up because we'll just keep talking and talking and talking. And we haven't seen each other in forever. So then we'll just catch up and it'll be forever and bore everybody else. Right. So, all right. Do you have any?
I don't know. We've got great stories.
We do. We have a lot of stories. Probably can't say them on the show. So what's your last thoughts that you want to impart to veterans? You want them to know?
You know, for the veterans that are out there, you know, it's important for you to, you've got things in you that other people need to see. They need to experience. You know, we all have our stories. And going back to the Patriot Art Foundation's thing, helping veterans tell their stories through the arts. But that's so true. You know, when you're in the military, you're looking out for the guy or the girl next to you. You know, you're in the foxhole together. You're in the trenches together. You're just, you know, working side by side together. There's a brotherhood and a sisterhood there.
Right.
We're there for each other. You don't really think about yourself. You think about the people around you sometimes more than you do yourself. And that's that brotherhood. That's that sisterhood that we all have. And then we get out and we don't have it anymore. And it's hard sometimes. And that's probably one of the hardest things that veterans have to deal with, is that camaraderie and that family that they don't feel anymore. And so you've got something in you that can help other veterans. And whether that's art or something else, you need to be able to find a way to share your experiences with other veterans and just other people in general, that can help them to navigate. And so you are important and you can be a blessing to somebody else. And for the Patriot Art Foundation, we are there to help you find your way of doing that. You know, when you find your thing that you may never thought could have been your thing, like when you were talking about pottery, once you started playing with that weaver, you were like, where's this been all my life?
Exactly.
You know, some people they pick up that pencil for the first time and they're like, wow, this thing is amazing and I love it. You know, this thing is really just my thing now, or a paintbrush or whatever. But when you find your thing, if it is a creative venture, my gosh, it can transform your life. But then that art that you create can be that avenue of communication to transform somebody else.
So I'm going to touch on this real fast. When you said something that I strongly believe in, and when I actually do coaching with people, this is what my goal is that you know how to navigate the military. You're looking out for your brothers and sisters. You know, when you walk in a room, where you stand based on what uniforms are in there. You know where to dodge the, oh shit, here it comes, you know, or you know that world. We don't know ourselves anymore because we are service before self. Yeah. So we are encouraging the audience to get out there and try something new.
No, I mean, there are guys that, you know, I mean, they're working on a lathe, they're creating bowls and candelabras.
Oh, yes.
And all these. Woodworking is absolutely visual art. It's functional, but it's still visual art, and it's beauty. So there's all kinds of ways. I've got a friend that's a sculptor, you know, and he's chiseling and working with clay and chiseling out of marble. There's so many different kinds of visual arts, but when humans are innately creative beings, mm-hmm. we want to create things. And it's not just functional. Everybody can have a house, but everybody wants a pretty house mm-hmm. because we can't help ourselves. We want, humans are drawn to aesthetics. We want to make things beautiful. And that creative process is so ingrained in us. You go all the way back to the cave paintings. Those yeah. were some beautiful pieces of art. And you know that, you know, it's like this, you know, if you think of it this way, that when man first discovered iron, they didn't create a weapon. They didn't create a tool. They used it to make red paint.
Oh, that's
because it rusted.
Good point.
That's the first thing humans did with iron.
You know what I was thinking of? I was thinking of the grocery store. When you walk into a grocery store and it's well laid out and the colors, like, because you always see the fruit section first, right? Because it's colorful. And when it is well cared for, you are drawn in. And yes. when it looks like just people threw it in there, you're like, ugh. Mm. Even though that food's still good, aesthetically, right. you're drawn to that nice and neat. Right. And, you know, you go to Whole Foods and that's their whole thing. You know, it looks all amazing. And, you know, and then you pay $5 more because it looks amazing because they're creating art with it.
Right.
But yeah, it's a good point. Like, it is all around us. Art is everywhere. Every single thing that we do, the clothes that we wear, the you know, I'm looking over at my son's lunchbox that he left over here, and it's decorated. It's got design mm-hmm. on it. You know, right. you don't just walk around like Vera Wang and all plain black. You know what I mean? And even that's yeah. a statement for her, right? So, yeah, I think that's kind of what we're trying to bring to the table, everybody, is that it's all around us. It is innate in us, as Tim said. It is who we are, it is what we are. And when we can get that out, it does a couple things. We get to process emotions through it. And then we get to share what we created with others that may help them process emotions too. And how can you go wrong, right? That's a win-win.
There we go.
All right. All right, everybody. That's Beyond the Frontline with just me this week. So from our parent podcast, Coming Home Well, and us at Beyond the Frontline, we hope you guys have an awesome week.
Thanks for listening to Beyond the Frontline, a podcast of Coming Home Well. Join us every other Wednesday. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Thanks again. And until all are home and all are well.